We're looking back at Matthew chapter 12. I'm taking the title for the message from the words that are found in verse 8. Matthew 12, verse 8. You see it there? For the Son of Man is Lord. The Son of Man is Lord. Talking about the God-man. He's Lord of everything, even He's Lord of the Sabbath day. He's Lord of all, isn't He? Even in His office as the Son of Man. Now, notice it doesn't say the Son of God. It says the Son of Man. In His office as the mediator. One God, one mediator between God and men. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The God-man mediator, our great high priest of the covenant of grace, Jesus Christ as the mediator, advocate, intercessor, is Lord over all things, even the Sabbath day. You remember in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things are delivered unto me and my Father. All things are in His hand, His sovereign, holy hand. Now remember, the Lord had just told the multitudes who were laboring to keep the law, who were heavy laden with a load of guilt and sin, to come to Him and find rest. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." Now this word Sabbath here actually means rest. Christ is our Sabbath rest. That is, He's saying, cease from your labors, cease from your works, and enter into His rest. Remember what we read in Hebrews 4? Let us strive to enter into that rest. That rest. It says in Genesis 2, and that's the reference there, on the seventh day, God ended His work of creation that He made, and He rested on the seventh day. All of His work which He made. Now, He didn't rest because He was tired, right? He rested because the work was finished. God rested from His work of creation because it was finished. It was complete. It was done. When the Lord Jesus Christ likewise finished our salvation, He ascended to glory and He sat down resting. Why did He rest? Why did He sit down? The work's finished. Salvation is done. Cease from your labors and enter into His rest. Now the Lord is demonstrating to us that in this message today, that He is our Sabbath rest. Like all the Old Testament laws, the Sabbath day was a picture of Christ pointing sinners to rest in Him, to rest in Him alone. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, we read in Hebrews chapter 4. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said to those Jews, Paul did, don't go about establishing a righteousness of your own. Rest in Christ. Be submitted unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now take a look at verse 1, Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day. Now remember, everywhere He went on purpose. He went with a purpose to fulfill the will of God, the work of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ went on the Sabbath day through the cornfield. And His disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, they must have had a special spy ring or something. These Pharisees were always out looking to find fault with everything He said and with everything He did and with everyone who associated with Him. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, "Behold, your disciples are lawbreakers. Thy disciples do that which is not lawful upon the Sabbath day." Actually, if they really knew the law actually allowed for people to go through the field and to eat corn. It didn't allow for the field to be harvested, but you could eat some corn if you were hungry. But these Pharisees said, Not at all. The Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples are not guilty of breaking this particular law, for it allowed those who were hungry to pluck ears of corn and to eat. It didn't allow for harvesting, but they weren't doing that. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man mediator, honored every precept of that law. We've studied that in Matthew chapter 5. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to honor the law and the prophets. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will make the law of God honorable. And He did. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law of God. And that's our righteousness that He gives us. Now, what they did violate was the tradition of the Pharisees, who had added many of their own laws and rules to burden the people with religious bondage. Don't religious people do the same thing today? They make up rules and regulations to try to control you. Now, I read this in studying this message. The Jews, those rabbis over the years, have formulated what they call the Jewish Talmud. And they have a particular concern with this Sabbath day. And they have written 24 chapters in their Talmud about laws and regulations concerning this day. Their Jewish Talmud said you couldn't even rub ears of corn together for food according to their rules and their regulations. See how they perverted the Word of God? Turn over to Matthew 15. Look what the Lord says. These same people, these Pharisees, Matthew 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. But in vain they do worship teaching, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They formulated their own rules and their own regulations. Look at verse 3, 4, and 5. The Lord gives some examples to answer their false charges against Him from the Scriptures. And He said to them, have you not read? And of course they were students of the Word. He said, it's recorded in John chapter 5, He said, you do search the Scriptures, and they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Have you not read what David did, King David, when he was hungry and those who were with him? I think he had 400 men with him at the time. He was running from his own father-in-law, trying to save his own life. How he entered into the house of God, and this is found in 1 Samuel 21, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful for him to do, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that the Sabbath days the priest in the temple does profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now, I like the way the Lord takes the Word of God to refute their baseless charges. And that's exactly what He does. And He does this many times. When David was running and hiding, his men ate the showbread because they were hungry. And the priest, Abiathar, freely gave it to them. They did not eat out of rebellion, but they ate out of need. They were hungry. So likewise, the Lord and His disciples, when they were headed to the synagogue for the morning worship, they had need of something to eat, so they plucked the ear of corn and began to eat it. Likewise, in verse 5 and 6, the priest on the Sabbath day, they labored long and hard to offer burnt sacrifices according to the law of the Lord and were blameless because they were doing the will of God, doing the work of God. Likewise, the apostles of the Lord were doing the will and work of the Lord on the Sabbath day, traveling and healing and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God on the Sabbath day. Well, we read that He entered into the synagogue that very day. Verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater. Greater than David, greater than the temple, greater than all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greater one, greater than any earthly temple or any earthly tabernacle. He's greater than any Old Testament priest He is the great high priest that is seated in the heavenlies, greater than any animal sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats cannot put away sin. His sacrifice did. The law made nothing perfect. Remember our study from Hebrews 7. The law made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Now, if you look on in Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. One more verse. The queen of the south shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But I say in you, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here? He is the great I am that I am. He is greater than the temple. He's greater than any Old Testament priest. Greater than Jonah. Greater than Solomon. Look at verse 7. But if you had known what this means, and he goes right back to the Word of God, Hosea 6:6, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now remember, we've seen that statement before. Turn back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Remember when the Lord called Matthew the publican and he went home and ate with him? In Matthew 9 verse 11, when the Pharisees saw it, the Lord sitting with a notable sinner, a publican named Matthew, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold thee not a physician, but those who are sick. Go ye learn what that means. And here he quotes the same scripture. I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. The Lord exposes the Pharisees for their willful ignorance of the scriptures. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ came to show mercy to sinners. He didn't tell us to bring a sacrifice. He is that sacrifice. And because of His sacrifice, He can show mercy to such as I am. We studied in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing that we have a great high priest. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in our time of need. The only way God can remain just and holy and honor His own law and justice is for the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down His life and satisfy the law of God for us by His sacrifice, not ours. That's how God can be just and justify the ungodly, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our sacrifice for sin, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you knew, verse 7, if you really had known what this means, what the Scriptures teach, you would not condemn those. Now watch this. You would not have condemned the guiltless. They did not break the law by eating the corn on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath allowed that. Our Lord said in Matthew 22 to the same group of Pharisees, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You would not, if you knew the Scriptures and the sacrifice of Christ, and upon that sacrifice God shows mercy to sinners, you would not condemn those who are guiltless. That exactly the good news of the gospel of Christ, because of His sacrifice for us, because He made complete and total satisfaction to the law of God, we stand before God, how? Guiltless. Not guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, He presents us before the Father, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, in His sight. That's how we stand in Christ. guiltless, justified. Justified in Christ. No sin. Now, look at verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the law of God. The whole law of God. Who gave the law? The Lord Jesus Christ gave the law. The Son of Man is Lord even of the law. Now notice, he uses this phrase, Son of Man, on purpose, identifying his office as mediator. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his woman, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Now, I looked this up in the New Testament. You know how many times he uses the phrase, Son of Man? 85 times. He emphasizes being the Son of Man, born of a woman, a real man, God incarnate in human flesh. He uses this phrase, Son of God, only 46 times. It seems to be an emphasis upon him as the God-man mediator. Now listen to this. And I've given this to you before. The Son of God became the Son of Man that sons of men may become sons of God. We had on the radio this morning, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. As the Son of Man, all things are delivered into his hand. Even he's even Lord of that Sabbath rest. That is saying the same thing when he says he's Lord of the Sabbath. It's saying that he is Lord in salvation. That Sabbath is rest. That salvation we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's saying the same thing, that salvation is of the Lord. Now in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, when this same story is recorded, there's something that's added that is extra. And here's what he says in Mark chapter 2, rather. The Sabbath was not made for man. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That is, salvation is for sinners. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Salvation was made for sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Salvation, rest in Christ, was made for His people. Sinners have nothing to do with making salvation. That's all of God. That's all of Christ. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. As we often say and repeat it over the years, he's Lord in creation, he's Lord in providence, he's Lord in salvation, and he's Lord in judgment too. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Look at verse 36 in Matthew 12. But I say unto you, I said last week that sinners are accountable to the Lord. Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Judgment's coming. And people, sinners, are accountable unto God. Answerable unto God. Now, look at verse 9. Back in Matthew 12, verse 9. And when he was departed, he went into the synagogue. That was the place where the Jews assembled on the Sabbath day for the reading of Scripture. And you can read a very good example of that in Luke chapter 4, where he went to his hometown, Nazareth, in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they gave him the book of Isaiah. And he read from the book of Isaiah and said, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, look at verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might not give thanks unto the Lord, but that they might accuse him? That might accuse him of doing this. He went to the Sabbath synagogue on the Sabbath to worship according to the law, and to clearly demonstrate that he is Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of all things, having all power to heal, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. The Lord is going to demonstrate works of mercy to this poor, crippled man, works of necessity that were allowed under the law. It is lawful to do well on the Sabbath, as it says, look at verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. So look at verse 11. When they said unto him, what man, he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and that one sheep on the Sabbath day falls into a pit, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than the sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. The Jews were always going about to trap him, to indict him with evil, so as to discredit him and his ministry. The Lord gives such a plain and useful story about a man who had one sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath day. And in mercy, what did he do? He rescued that one sheep. And then he says, how much more then is a man better than a sheep? How much more value is a man than a sheep? The Son of Man is come to save the lost. Look over here at Matthew 18. The Son of Man, verse 11. The Son of Man now is come to save that which is lost. He came to save the lost. He came to save sinners. Now, you see the gospel there? Here's a man, one sheep in a pit. What does he do? He goes and rescues that pit. Isn't that exactly what the Lord did for us? I see the good news of the gospel here. We're all like sheep gone astray. We all fell into the pit of sin with no way to escape. And the good shepherd came and rescued us, redeemed us from all our sin, and saved us eternally by his sovereign love and sovereign grace. I think we're going to look at Psalm 40 on Wednesday evening. But it says in that verse, Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. As that one man came and rescued that one sheep out of that pit, so the Lord Jesus Christ came and lifted us out of the pit of sin. You see the gospel there, don't you? Also, look what happens. Verse 13, then saith he to the man with this withered hand. He had a withered, gnarled, drawn up hand. He said to that man, stretch forth your hand. Well, that man couldn't stretch forth his hand, not in and of himself, could he? But the Lord commanded him, stretch forth your hand. And he did. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like the other. Like the other. Isn't that good news? The Lord said to the man with this withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand, and he did. What amazing power comes with the Word of God. He commanded this man, he didn't invite him. He said, stand up, stretch forth your hand, and he did. With the command of God comes the ability to obey the Word of the Lord. This again is a gospel. This again is the gospel of Christ illustrated to us. It's an instructive picture of Almighty grace and how the Lord effectually, irresistible, calls us with the gospel. We are that man with a withered hand. Sin has withered us. Dead in sin and trespasses. And the Lord said, come forth. And we come forth at the call of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. By the preaching of the gospel, the Lord sends the command of the gospel to come to Him, and we do come. We're made willing to come. Not by any natural ability that we have, for He said, no man can come to me except that the Father which sent me draw him. But when He sends a command, blessed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that's the effectual call and command of the gospel to God's elect in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He gives us life from the dead. He gives us faith to believe. He gives us the mind of Christ to look to Him. He gives us a heart of faith to stretch forth the hands of faith and to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was restored whole like the other. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand what? Complete. Complete restored. Whole in Him. In Him. He restores us in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling us into Himself. And He makes us whole. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in Him. Now I just get this scene pictured in my mind. The Lord confronting the Pharisees and the Pharisees confronting Him. And just happened to be this man there with a withered hand. And He heals him on the Sabbath day. And He did this many times to show that He is the Lord of all things. Well, we give thanks, don't we? The Lord has restored us who were withered and dead in sin, raised us up together. And we do give thanks. But look at the response of the Pharisees. The Pharisees went out and held a council against Him how they might destroy Him. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Some were glad. This man was glad who was healed. Some got mad. The disciples were blessed and they were instructed. But it says in Luke 6 that these Pharisees were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some were filled with gladness. Some were filled with madness. You see, the gospel will always divide and unite. It will divide the sheep from the goats. It will divide the chaff from the wheat. The gospel is the savor of life unto His people, but the savor of death unto death. It will unite the sheep and the shepherd, the bride and the bridegroom, the church of the Lord, the church and the Lord of the church, the Lord of the Sabbath. May God be pleased to so work in our heart and always cause us to rejoice in Him. That's the command of the gospel. Stretch forth your hand. It's the hand of faith. That's how Christ is received, with the hand of faith. And He gives us the ability, the will, the want to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of salvation. We are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. If you ask this man in the synagogue that day, if someone asked him, well, your hand was withered and drawn up, and what happened to you? This man named Jesus of Nazareth, he commanded me to stretch forth my hand. He wouldn't say, well, you know, I did my part and he did his. Well, I have my own free will. I decided one day that I'm just going to heal myself. That man said, Christ made me whole. That's our testimony. Christ made us whole. And we're complete. We're complete.